Plastics are synthetic materials derived from fossil fuels. There are at least 7 types of plastics, the most common being polyethylene and polyvinyl chloride. Plastics are lightweight, durable, flexible, cheap, and can be molded into various shapes. That's why plastic products are all around us. In the food packages, in cosmetics, in containers, in textiles, in water bottles, water pipes, and even in medical devices. But the problem with plastics is that they are synthetic and they do not biodegrade. Plastic breaks down into smaller pieces, less than 5 millimeters, around the size of a sesame seed, and they are called microplastics. And they further break down into nanoparticles, smaller than 1000 nanometers. These particles remain for hundreds of years, and they ultimately end up existing everywhere. Not just contributing to pollution, ruining the ecosystem, endangering wildlife, but they also reside in the food that we eat, the water that we drink, and the air that we breathe. Microplastics and nanoplastics enter the human body through ingestion, inhalation, and skin exposure. And as these particles get smaller, our bodies absorb more of them. An average person ingests around 5 grams of microplastics every week, which is roughly the weight of a credit card. These microplastics and nanoplastics have been found in the lungs, in the liver, in the placenta, in urine, in blood, and in breast milk. Occupational exposure studies showed an increased risk of cardiovascular diseases among persons who are exposed to plastic-related pollution. We also have data from experimental animals that showed that micro and nanoparticles promote inflammation, myocardial fibrosis, and endothelial dysfunction. But we were not sure if we could find these microplastics and nanoplastics in the crime scene, in the atherosclerotic tissues in humans. To investigate that, a group of Italian researchers looked into the data of 257 patients who had asymptomatic carotid artery stenosis and were going for carotid endarterectomy. After excising the carotid plaques, they looked into the tissues, searching for microplastics and nanoplastics in the specimens using chromatography and spectrometry. They also looked into the cells with electron microscopy. They also sampled the blood for inflammatory markers, and they followed the patients for 34 months to monitor the incidence of myocardial infarction, stroke, and death from any cause. They published the results in the New England Journal of Medicine in March 2024. They found that out of 257 patients, 150 patients, more than half of them, had detectable amounts of micro and nanoplastics in the excised atherosclerotic plaque. Mostly was polyethylene and to a lesser extent polyvinyl chloride. Pictures of electron microscopy showed strange particles with jagged edges that were probably of foreign origin within the foamy macrophages present in the atheromatous plaque and in the amorphous material of the plaque. They also found a positive correlation between the amount of the micro-nanoparticles present and the levels of inflammatory markers, interleukin, and tumor necrosis alpha. Patients with micro and nanoplastics in their plaques were 4 times more likely to die or to get an MI or a stroke compared to patients with no evidence of these particles in their plaques. What does the study tell us? We now have further evidence linking microplastics and nanoplastics to atherosclerosis. They exist in the plaques. They are associated with more inflammation and with more heart attacks and more deaths. Does that mean that microplastics and nanoplastics cause atherosclerosis? No. It just proves an association, not a causation. We need more data and a stronger evidence to prove causality. But it makes sense, of course, to minimize our exposure to microplastics. How can we do that? The largest known source of microplastic intake is from bottled water, with an average of 94 particles per liter. So we need to reduce single-use plastics, opt for reusable alternatives in bottles, bags, and containers, filter tap water using a water filter that is certified to remove microplastics, check the ingredient list for items like personal care, exfoliative scrubs that contain microbeads or other microplastics. Choose clothing which is made from natural fibers like cotton, wool, because synthetic fibers shed microplastics during washing. Opt for products with minimal or no plastic packaging when possible, and buy in bulk to reduce packaging waste. Properly dispose plastics. Recycle plastics whenever possible to prevent them from breaking down into microplastics in the environment. Avoid littering, of course. Dispose the wastes properly to prevent plastic pollution from entering waterways and ecosystems. These measures can reduce, but cannot guarantee complete elimination of these microplastic particles from our bodies. Simply, the inhaled air also contains microplastics, with an average of 9.8 particles per cubic meter. This tells us that complete avoidance may not be achievable, but these healthy practices can reduce exposure to microplastics and contribute to mitigating their environmental impact and possibly avoid getting a heart attack.
Thank you for watching this episode of Cardio Buzz. Tell us your opinion in the comments. How do you handle plastic products and their waste? And if you like the content, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and share the video to spread the word. See you in the next episode.